Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You remember when Jesus, there were 10 lepers, and they cried out to Jesus from a distance. They said, Lord, have mercy on us. And, you know, he touched people, healed people, hugged them, spit on them, and did all kinds of stuff. But in this case, these people were distant from him. They were crying out. And he told them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Remember? And you'll be healed. And so that was the routine. If you had some loathsome disease and you're in Israel, you had to go to the priest to verify that you were free of the condition that you had. That was the way they came back into the community. So Jesus says, go and be healed. But if you remember, as they went, they were healed. One came back. You remember that? One came back. This is like Naaman. He came back because it was something more than healing for him. He had come to God. He had seen God. He had experienced God. He had had an encounter with God. The one leper that came back to Jesus, he came back and said he fell at his feet. The Lord wants us to encounter him and to know him. That guy came back, and Jesus said, wasn't there 10 of you? Why has only one come back? He said, and this man is a foreigner, a Samaritan. He wasn't even an Israelite. That's the man that came back. But Jesus made note, because I tell you what the guy did. He said he gave glory to God. That leper gave glory to God. And see, that was more important than the healing. This man had come in contact with God. That's what we need. If he chooses to heal us, so be it. But I tell you what, when he heals and restores our soul and makes us ready for eternity, we got what we need. That is healing. Because all people that were healed out through history and the Bible, they all died. Every one of them. They still have to meet God. We all do. We need a healing of our soul. But praise God, I tell you what, he's in the healing business. He's in the salvation business. Thank God for his faithfulness. Okay. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. I know. So please accept the gift from your servant. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts. And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused. But I tell you what, you can see right here, Naaman was changed. His heart was changed. This is what he says. Then Naaman said, all right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. Praise God. I guess it didn't say a whole lot about that, but you know, he probably was going to set up an altar, but he wanted it to be on the dirt and the earth where he had seen God. And Israel stood for it was the place where God dwelled. He took that earth back with him. But, okay, let's keep going here. Anyway, however, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. He's got something else he wants to ask Elisha. When my master, the king, goes into the temple of the god of Rimmon to worship there and he leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too. Go in peace, Elisha said. You know, he was concerned. He already had such an experience with God. He said God was the only God. And if he went to a pagan temple and he bowed down, it was almost in obeisance to some other God. He already had something done in his heart. And he doesn't want to offend this God. He wants to know what it is he needs to do. But then Elisha said, you're pardoned. You know, I don't know. I just, when I read this morning, I thought, what about when he went back home? What about that little girl? He walks back in and he's healed. You know, what all has she gone through? But you know, her master Naaman walks back in and he's a healed man. And you know what? You know he had joy. You know he had joy. But the greatest part of that journey was this. He came to know God. That is the most important thing we will ever encounter in this life. And whatever it takes to get us there, whether it's years of being humbled with a loathsome disease, grief, sorrow, tragedy, whatever it is, God rules and He reigns. And He has the power to heal and restore. I'm glad that He hasn't changed. And, you know, I just want to share that because I believe that a lot of us are going through things, you know, and nothing is in vain. When we're serving God, He's fully aware of each situation. And He truly does work all things together for our good. You know what? And it's for the good of others. Even like that little girl, what she had gone through. That story is recorded in here. You know, and it's for our benefit. Our God is an awesome God. And He has the same power. And He wants us all to be, I believe, encouraged to realize, let's keep looking to Him. He has what we need. No matter what it is, He is 100% faithful. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate His faithfulness this morning. This has been one of those mornings where I had all kinds of thoughts and couldn't seem to get any quickening or any sense of order. So it was time to sit back and let's see what the Lord had. And I appreciate His faithfulness because I believe He's certainly spoken to us this morning. One of the scriptures that I had thought of is the one from which Debbie quoted, and that's in Isaiah 55. So I thought it might be a good thing to at least look at that scripture and trust the Lord to keep my mind from running off in the direction that I've been thinking, because it's a good subject, but not necessarily the one for today. So thank the Lord. Anyway, the Lord is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and you know, Isaiah prophesied in one of those periods in Israel's history where they had some good kings and some bad ones, but the nation itself was fundamentally a nation of unbelievers who were some of them were going through the motions, but there was this remnant that knew the Lord. And so there was an appeal to, there were warnings, there was an appeal to the people who needed the Lord, and there was an encouragement for those who knew Him. And you sense that all through the Isaiah particularly. But anyway, he says this, there's an invitation, it says, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters." All right, so, I mean, you can stop right there. Here's the Lord looking at people that He knows are sinners, knows are, you know, they're headed in the wrong direction if He doesn't do something, if they don't get something from the Lord. And, you know, what is His heart towards them? I mean, doesn't the first word tell you everything? He's not saying, "Get away from me, all you bad people." He says, "Come." There's an invitation. And it's not just come, you know, a few of you or a few of you special ones. Come all. Praise God. That takes in everybody who hears this, everybody everywhere. There's this open invitation. Come all. All who are what? Thirsty. There's a sense there of this person that they're in need. Now, maybe they've been going along and everything, life has been good, and all of a sudden, the Lord has allowed circumstances where now there's a need, and they feel a need. You know, I praise God when he brings us to these places that several have mentioned this morning, where suddenly we know we thought everything was going good, but now we're in need. God has got to interrupt us if He's ever going to do anything in us. Because if we are left to our own selves, to our own ideas about how things should be, we're going to go the wrong direction. We're going to naturally, our natural inclination is to follow the desires, the earthly desires that we have, and we just be like the world. But oh, thank God for the way He intervenes. I mean, here He was. Think of, again, the story of Naaman. A heathen man. And here's God seeing this man and zeroing in on him and providing the circumstances, number one, for him to have a need and then to know what to do about it, and then giving him the grace and the strength to progressively humble himself to the point where God could meet that need and make Himself known. Praise God. I'll tell you, if you know the Lord at all today, you need to be just rejoicing in His mercy, because if He didn't intervene in your life, you would never do it, nor would I. There is not one natural inclination in any of us that would reach out to the Lord if He didn't reach out to us. Didn't we sing, "Reach out to Jesus"? Yeah. Well, why do we reach out to Him? Because He's reaching out to us. There's this sense of his, he knows what we need. We're the ones who don't realize it. Okay? Anyway, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Thank God he's not looking for me to somehow acquire through some effort of mine, through some whatever I have. It's freely that he wants us to come. Thank God. Thank God. But now he looks on the people to whom this prophecy was given and says, and it applies certainly to us, why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy? You know, what Brian was saying about the foolishness of pursuing the things of this world as though this is what matters. This does not matter. We've said so many times we have a temporary life and a temporary world. What does it matter if, as Jesus said, you gain the whole world? But what? But lose your soul. Oh my God, we need the Lord, don't we? And you know, like Jesus said, he was warning people about loving riches. That was a particular issue that was that affected a lot of the people to whom he spoke. And he said, you know, anyway, he turned their hearts from that and talked about how the eyes of the body, the thing that we focus on in life, if that's darkness, boy, that's darkness indeed, isn't it? But what the futility of the pursuits of this world, if your life is revolved in any degree or revolves to any degree around what you can get, what you can achieve in the eyes of others, what you can achieve to say, I did this, I'm that. Every bit of that is a waste when it comes to eternity. And how many of us know when our life is going to be over? You think of what just happened to a young man. My God, we need the Lord. We need to realize what this world is about, what God's purpose is in it. God's purpose is to call a family out of a dying world and give them a life they cannot lose. Praise God. And to do it at the cost of the death of and suffering and death of his son in our place. Praise God. To all glory goes to him. He has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. And how ridiculous is it when you look around the world and see what they're living for and what they're trying to accomplish? So what? You go back a few centuries and you had people doing the same thing and we forgot all about them. Doesn't make a bit of difference. Nothing has changed. That's exactly right. It's just human nature trying to... And in every age, this is what has occupied people's minds. They're living for gratifying their bodily desires. They're fulfilling their pride. They're living for what they can acquire and feel, I've got this, I have that. And you think about what Jesus said about the rich fool. He got so much stuff that he just built new barns and sat back and said, I've got it. I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. And God says, you fool.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.